B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. The great, and he was not only a player, he's an incredible broadcaster and a great friend of the show, the great Brian Boucher on the Comcast Business Hotline. We say, Boosh, how you holding up, man?
Anthony, good to hear your voice. Doing good. Obviously, crazy times right now, but just trying to do what we're told and self-isolate and be safe and hope for the best. Crazy times right now, and I'm sure for a lot of people it's difficult to stay inside, but that's exactly what we're trying to do here at our house. Trying to keep two teams locked up is not an easy thing to do, but we're managing, and hopefully in the near future we'll get back to some normal life.
I know, it's scary. And how old are yours?
My son is 17, my daughter is 15.
Oh, man, they're 17 and 15 now? I can't
believe it.
Man, where did time go, man? 17 and 15.
Kids.
I remember when they were born. That's amazing,
I know.
Man.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though, man. Thank God for Xbox. Right now, I'm not a big fan of it typically, but for now, it's keeping him socially engaged. He doesn't play it, but she, so I'm, thank God for that. Thank God we have the internet. Thank God we have technology to keep us connected. Just trying to be grateful for the little things we do have.
Well, no, and that's true. Somebody sent me a note. And in fact, I'll tell you who it was. It was, Sean McDermott, who's the coach of the Bills. His dad, Rich, is a big time high school football coach in the area. And he texted me a note, and it really made you think. And it had to do with Anne Frank, who spent 1,600 days locked up in an attic with six other people trying to be quiet and keep herself alive from the Nazis. And you start to think like that, and you go, what am I complaining about? I got connectivity, right? I have a TV.
Right.
I have internet. I have all this stuff. The least we can do, especially during this time, it's so scary, is to do our part and just hang out at the house. You know what I'm saying?
100%. You hate to wonder how much worse it could be. You know, you don't want to go down that road.
No.
But we certainly have a lot to be grateful for. The ones that do have a house and do have internet, and do have all that, all of the everyday luxuries that we've been accustomed to, just asking us to stay in our homes, it shouldn't be too a task to ask of people. So I don't know about where you're at, but I still think that people can do a better job. And not that I want to come on here and talk about that. I still think people can do a better job of self-isolating, of keeping their kids out of the public and going out in groups. At least where I'm at, I still see kids out and about intermingling, and that's a parent's responsibility to be on that. But until everybody buys in 100%, I think we're going to unfortunately be in a longer self isolation mode. So hopefully people can smarten up.
Listen, Boosh, you're right, and this needs to be talked about by people in the community with stature. United States now has the third, I just got this note on CNN, the United States has the third most coronavirus infections in the world now behind China and Italy. And here's another thing. In Hong Kong, they fought coronavirus with strict rules. Then the people began to relax, and now suddenly there's a new wave of cases. So it's all kind of food for thought.
Yeah. I'm just trying to. I'm trying my best to follow the rules from hearing, and just hope that everybody else does. And then if we all do it, hopefully it goes by quicker than we can ever imagine. But I think you gotta pay attention. You gotta follow the rules. You can't be a renegade. You can't be a tough guy. You just gotta, adhere to what they're asking us to do for the good of everybody, and that's all you can do.
Amen, brother. Amen. Where are you? Are you in
Talking
Jersey?
Hockey.
Where you
yeah,
at?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey. Yeah. I'm in Haddonfield. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. We just played the highlights of that game. And I forget how. I think I had you on like the next day, that Monday to talk, the next day to talk about it, because it was unbelievable. What do you remember from that game? You made 57 saves in that game.
It's not a lot of saves, but considering your 8 periods, actually, if you break it down, it's really not that many. But what I remember from the game is just, you know, how exhausted I was at the end of it. You know, like, I remember, you know, you were hungry, you were thirsty, your body was cramping. That's all I remember, the amount of sweat that I had in my skates. I could pour the sweat out of my skates when I got undressed. It literally poured out. I was cramping badly at the start of that eighth period. I was scraping my crease and my hips started to seize up, and I wanted to stretch that part, but when I did that, then something else seized up. So I just was like, screw it. I'm not going to stretch. Like, because if I stretch, then something's going to cramp up, and I don't know if I can get out of it. It's a bad feeling. If anybody's ever had cramps like that from the amount of sweat, it's a bad feeling. And I think once you get in that state, you can't get out of it until you have TV or anything like that. So, but you know what? Hey, what was great about it is that evened the series, and I think we had a jolt of energy leaving that building, even though we were all exhausted, knowing that we just won a real crucial game in that series.
Well, I want to get back to like the what your body and what you did. So, what did you drink? I remember the story that you and the guys told me was something about getting pizza. You tried to eat whatever you could that was left, and the arena was like running out of food.
Yeah.
What was the story with that?
Well, see, on the road, you typically get pizzas in the locker room for after the game to hold you off from the time you shower to the time you get on the plane, where we actually get fed. We get fed on the plane. So that's just a way to, like, hold you up. You have not eaten a meal since 12:30 in the afternoon, right? You eat your meal at 12:30.
Right.
You go down for a nap. You wake up. You have a little snack before you go to the rink at 4 o'clock. But in essence, you haven't eaten a full meal since 12:30 in the afternoon. The typical game's over at 9:30, 9:45. Yeah, you're talking 7-8 hours ago that you just ate your last eight. So you have a slice or two of pizza, and that holds you off until you get to the bus, and then you have a real meal on the plane. But we crushed all those pizzas by, I believe it was the second overtime. I didn't eat the pizzas because I'm typically not hungry when I play, but it got so far into the game that by the time I got to like the fourth, fifth overtime, I was starting to get hungry now. It was like 2 a.m. or whatever it was. Power gels, power bars, granola bars, bananas, whatever we had in the locker room and in the training room was gone by, like, I would say the third overtime. So we had nothing, absolutely nothing left. There were IV bags in between periods. It was bonkers. I mean, I can honestly say I don't know if I'd ever want to play in another game like that. Just because, you know, the physical toll takes on you, but also the mental toll, right? You don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So, and one mistake could end the game. And so, looking back, it's fun to be a history. But when I was putting on my gear that night, I had, you know, no clue that the night unfolded. And if you had to know it was going to unfold like that, you might cap out and say, I'm not interested in playing tonight, because it was pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, that had to be such a taxing on your body, and especially as a goalie with all that equipment. You typically lose, how much do you typically lose during a game, weight-wise, and what do you think you lost during that game?
Truthfully, when I played, I would lose, I could lose 7 pounds in a practice sometimes. Like, I was a real, like, I was a real bad sweater. I don't even know if that's the right word for it, but, like, I sweat a lot. And so I would lose a lot. And in a game, I guess I would lose anywhere from 7 to 9 pounds. Easily. And in that game, I mean, I didn't measure my, I didn't weigh myself. And back then, that was 2000. We weren't weighing ourselves like we did towards the end of my career, where that stuff was, you know, that science was more prevalent at the end, where you're really keeping track of your body weight, stuff like that. But I would say, gosh, I mean, I had to lose over 10 pounds that time easily. Well, back then I was better. I was in better shape back then at the start of my career. I was a young 20-something. I was, you know, it's a heck of a lot better than being some 35-year-old beer-drinking slug, you know?
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Yeah, it was, I was wondering, because I figured the IV bags, you had to go through a bunch of IV bags, and then, you know, you're just drinking, you know, you drank all the Gatorade, probably, all the water. I mean, my God, just that
whole... Pedialyte was something that we drank, too, you know, for the infants there. It's like, I'd mix that with Gatorade. But like you said, there's only so much you can drink, you know what I mean? At some point, you know, you're trying to drink as fast as you're losing, and, you know, you almost feel sick when you're drinking
you know,
like, you just can't only take so much in, so... it was a crazy, crazy time, man. And I tell you, looking back on it, it's awfully cool to be a part of history and knowing you're on the winning side of it too, because I wonder if you talk to those Penguins guys, and I've never really talked to any of those guys about it, but like, you know, how do they look back? Maybe they're proud of that game, but it's even better for us because, you know, we won the game and then we won game 5 and won game 6, you know what I mean? And it was a real turning point. You see how it just demoralized them. And we scored late, right? I think Johnny scored the puck that went off his head, I think. It was a slapper that tied the game. That goal went in late in the third, if I'm not...
And a power play, because remember...
Yeah.
Remember, you guys have been struggling on the power play. You guys were awesome in the regular season, like second in the league, and for some reason in the series... It was a real struggle with the man advantage. And they scored. You know what's amazing, Boosh, is that they scored 2 minutes into the game.
Kovalev held it
scoreless the rest of the way.
Yeah, Kovalev with the blue line. Let go of bomb. Yeah. I stunk in that series in games 1 and 2. And I think part of in parts of game 3 too. I think like the first round series against Buffalo, it was a quick series, and I think we had to play back to back nights at home because of like building. So we wrapped up that Buffalo series even quicker than normal because we had to play a back to back in game 1 and 2 at home on back to back nights, which is uncommon in the playoffs. So we had a bit of a break there between the Buffalo Sabres and Pittsburgh series. And that break sometimes, if it's a week plus, slow momentum and really break the routine. And I think for me, now it gave me time to think too now, like about like, oh my God, the gravity of the situation. We're in the playoffs. It's unbelievable. And I got ahead of myself. And I struggled in games 1 and 2 at home against Pittsburgh. Huh. And probably was the reason why we lost, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And I think they were thinking about making a goalie change to Beezer in that game 3. They didn't do it, and we won in overtime, and then you win game 4, and then I was back on track. You know what I mean?
They were going to make a trade? I mean, they were going to make a switch. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they didn't do it, and we won game 3 in overtime. Delmore scored in OT to make it 2-1. Okay, we're like, okay, all right. We're kind of back here. But, you know, when you're down 0-2 and you lose your first 2 games at home, like that's a substantial blow in a series. You're like, whoa, you know what I mean? And so at that point, it's all hands on deck. And, you know, fortunately for me, they didn't make the goalie change and we got back on track. But that might have been why the power play could have been a struggle as well. You have that time off. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not in a game situation.
Yeah,
you don't have that. I would much rather play every other night than have, like, I know in the long run it's good to get a little bit of rest, but no more than 4 days. You start going 7, 8, 9 days. That's tough to restart the engine and play with that, you know, with that intensity that you need and that edge. You know, I think you want to stay engaged as much as possible. Even though it's hard on you, I think most guys would tell you, they don't want to focus in the playoffs. They just want to show up for the game, get their rest, eat, hydrate, be ready to go the next day, and just stay in that routine for 2 months.
Yeah, I think that's why you see these teams at the end of the regular season to get hot. Almost like, you know, you guys did in 2010, it just kind of works. Like, you guys are used to playing playoff hockey the last 2 weeks of the season. And, you know, you just become, you get hot and you like to play every other day. I think you're right about that. I think you do. And same thing with you're a baseball guy. You see these teams that clinch 2-3 weeks left this season, you lose an edge.
100%. And it, look, it's not much, right? I mean, it's, you know, if you're talking 1%, you know, when you are playing, you know, hockey, the season, and you're February, all the way to June, they carry momentum.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, a lot of us are wondering that what were the Flyers, I mean, they were, I mean, they, like the Blues, I mean, they started to play dominating hockey, and they weren't slowing down, man. They were, they you know, they had a shot this year, a real shot to make a lot of noise.
Now, I'm losing you there for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I was talking.
So you're talking about the Flyers this year?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I truly believe the NHL back at this point. I don't know. I think it will come back, but it's gonna be a whole new ball game once it starts up, because, like you said, the Flyers have been playing good hockey. They were on a roll. You could almost feel it. Be able to ride that wave anymore, right? That's not, if it have to find a way to recreate it. I mean, I don't even know how you would handicap any of that stuff coming out of this.
I mean,
however you decide how or who gets in, I think anybody can do it. You know, who knows? All bets are off. You know what I mean? Anybody can do it. The door is wide open because it's going to be tough. It's going to be crazy.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, I don't think at this point, you know, I think we probably saw the last of it this season. I just read a thing that we probably won't be back to normal or semi-normal for 10 to 12 weeks. So yeah. I don't know how you can start a season in July or like restart the playoffs then.
I think they could be in July and August, and it sounds like, you know, from, you know, a TV standpoint, you know, because NBC is the rights holders for the Olympics, it sounds like the Olympics, there's a lot of talk about that being postponed one full year, so that would get it to next summer. And if that happens, you know, that opens up TV for hockey in the summertime. So,
I know
the start of playoffs would be July, the start of the Olympics would be July 24th, so there would be your conflict and maybe a date that you might want to get it in before, but now you don't have that date to worry about if the Olympics postponed. Now you could go into July, August, and those need to go. In that scenario, you got to think that this season is going to be interrupted to a certain degree. You're going to have an off season, right, at the end of the conclusion of the Stanley Cup Finals. So maybe you have a shortened season next year. I mean, we're getting into, you know, what ifs, but I think that's, you know, worst case scenario. I think that, you know, who knows? That might even be best case scenario, but I think that's what you're probably looking at. And obviously the economic impact of all that for any sports league. Jesus, start having condensed seasons and stuff like that. It's going to be something.
I almost wonder, are you better off just starting fresh again, because training camp is September, right? Like, so, you know, are you better off just kind of just saying forget it and we'll start back fresh and You know, you don't know. Although I will tell you this, the prospects of playoffs July and August would be awesome. Like, that would be outrageous. I would love it. Are you kidding me? That we get like summertime hockey would be outrageous. It would be a lot of fun. Do you think the ice sometimes, you know how it works in the summertime, sometimes the ice becomes choppy and all, but you think it would be all right? You think they could do it?
I think they could do it. I mean, you think about, you know, Tampa and South Florida. Those are humid areas. I don't count LA, and I don't count Phoenix as the same type of environment. It's a drier climate down there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel as hot, you know. But when you're in Tampa in June, right, and the Stanley Cup Finals been played there in June, it's hot as all heck outside. Trust me, we're doing studio shows outside, and it's 95 degrees, and we're sweating bullets. But inside, the arena's cold, and the ice is good. You know, is it going to be a little softer once they open the doors and the fans come flooding in? For sure. You know what I mean? I still think you can do it. You know, I just would like to see it for teams that have, you know, worked so hard this year to a certain point to get inside the top eight. And, you know, I would like to see it finish out in some way, shape, or form. Even if it's not a best of seven series, maybe it's a best of five, you know. But, you know, obviously I think for an economic standpoint, you'd have to have those games played with fans in the building, right? You can't, like, to me, playing the Stanley Cup Finals in front of an empty building, I think defeats the purpose, because I think for the playoff, and I'm not no expert, and I'm not, you know, I'm just...
I think you're dead right about that.
You know, the owners, they need the gate, right? They need, you know, fans in the building. That's the money that they make in the playoffs. There's no more salaries to pay. The only thing that they're paying out of their pockets is travel budgets and travel expenses for the team. So, you know, they would need fans in the building in order to recoup some of the losses. Is it going to be safe for fans to go into a 17,000 seat environment? You know, the CDC and World Health Organization would be the experts on that when it comes to summertime. Who knows? So, hey, look, if you can't have fans in the building, is it worth playing then? So maybe in that scenario, you're right. Maybe it is. Maybe it's over. And you start up in September when it's safe again. But it'd be a shame just to see those teams that have worked so so hard and you know, to just see it drop dead. Like, you know, I'm just thinking about the Flyers. I mean, like, boy, what a heck of a season. And to not have them see it through would be a bummer. Bummer for the fans, bummer for the players, you know,
although I will say, thankfully, they're going to be good for, like, this isn't just a blip of 1 year. They look like they're going to be good for a while, like real good.
I agree. I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think this team is in good shape. You know, we've always talked about how their defense are, you know, the depth of their defense, but too with the young guys and how they drafted well and developed well and how that was going to be a strength of their team. Well, now it's coming to four. And they added a couple of veterans and Justin Braun and Niskanen that helped those young guys. But that's the strength of their team. Carter Hart's a real bright spot down the road. You know, Kevin is a great signing. I mean, like, all of that with, you know, a pretty key piece missing, obviously, with Osborne being out too. You know, this team still managed to do what they've done, which is a positive sign. So I agree. I think this Flyers team is trending upwards. In a league with tremendous parity, too, it can change from year to year. And just because you miss 1 year doesn't mean you're not going to be back the next year. But I think, by and large, this is not a team that people are looking at saying they have no chance. This team has a chance the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, big time. Brother, listen, I so appreciate you hanging out. You know, I love you and wish you and your family safe. And I'm sure we'll be bugging you soon just to hang out and keep in touch and the whole thing. And, you know, thanks for doing your part during this tough period. It's good when people hear you, you know, it does make people feel better when they turn on the radio to hear somebody they like, somebody they care about. So, that was awesome, man. I really appreciate it, brother.
Always great to be with you, Anthony. And, you know, hopefully everybody, you know, stay safe. You know, the authorities and hopefully this thing can end soon and we can get back to normal life as quickly as possible.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thanks, pal. God bless
you. All right. Thanks. Take care. You too.
Here he is, the Boosh, checking in on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.